Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday.
Just another manic Monday on The Savage Nation. Not a blue Monday for me. I hope it's not a blue Monday for you. For me, it's a manic Monday on The Savage Nation. Just another manic Monday, by the way. Another manic Monday. Don't you wish it was still Sunday? When you could be around with all the idiots cheering on the Giants and pretending that the world has not changed, that it's still Mickey Mantle with a clean-cut hairdo who doesn't spit and look like a street bum up there on the thing with fuzzy hair and dirty beards. I never saw anything like it. I mean, I had to watch the sports because there was no getting away from the insanity in America over the weekend. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We're going to talk about quarantine today. We're going to talk about the insanity of the federal government. We're going to talk about the sanity of Governor Christie, the sanity of Governor Cuomo, and the insanity of Barack Hussein Obama. I've never seen anything like this in my life, where a small group of fanatics are literally dictating medical policy to the gullible president of the United States, saying, oh no, quarantine is illegal, immoral, and fattening. So I ask you, is it fair to quarantine health workers returning from Ebola zones? Not only is it fair, it's mandatorily required if you're sane. Moreover, the Army is isolating troops returning from Liberia. And the smart joint chiefs who should be running America, I'm not going to call for a coup because that would be the end of my career, but the joint chiefs of staff are urging a broad Ebola quarantine. They're recommending that all U.S. troops returning from West Africa undergo a mandatory 21-day quarantine. That's very intelligent. It's required to prevent the disease from spreading. But because of psychotic ideologues in the CDC, National Institutes of Health, and other places where they've been ensconced since the AIDS epidemic, the policies that were put in place from the day of the AIDS epidemic are now being applied to a different epidemic with dire consequences for all of us. What does it say about a nurse who puts her own discomfort before public safety? Now, I want to talk about that on the Savage Nation. I want to talk about the Mexican illegal alien who shot to death two Northern California deputies over the weekend. This Mexican had been deported twice, but because of Jerry Brown and Barack Obama and the amnesty and sanctuary policies of these numbskull politicians, he's been able to game the system, and he shot two sheriffs dead. Can any sheriff or cop or highway patrolman listening to the show tell me why you will vote for Jerry Brown or a Democrat ever again? I don't understand it. What's happened to you people? Are you that stupid? Are you that brainwashed that you don't understand that they're putting your lives at risk? Now, that brings us to the question of, can the average man save America? And you can call on any of these topics to the Great Savage Nation Show at 855-407-282. Those are some of the topics on Manic Monday. So rewind Manic Monday. Let's hear it from the top.
Just another Manic Monday.
It's another Manic Monday on the Savage Nation. Not a blue Monday anymore. No more blue Monday. It's going to be a Manic Monday because, let me tell you something. I don't want to be a depressive Monday. I want it to be a Manic Monday. No more depressive Mondays for me. How many years do I have left? How many years do I have left to fight for America's borders, language, and culture? Only God knows the answer to that. But the question is, what are you going to do on Election Day, which is so around the corner? So here's the argument we had. I was in a restaurant, a crowded restaurant, Saturday night. It started simply enough. Now, I love my family more than anything on earth. And we don't get together that often. And I'm not going to give away anything to embarrass anybody. Don't worry. If they're listening, they're going to hate me for this. But I'm not going to put anyone down. I'm going to control my tongue because I was wrong and they were right. Let me start with that. I was wrong. I overreacted to the World Series morons whistling and screaming at the bar. I was the one who overreacted, not them. I go into a white tablecloth restaurant for a couple of pizzas because we were hungry. Pizza and a beer and a wine. We go out. We get a table. And all of a sudden, I take a look and there's a crowd of Yahoo morons at the bar of this white tablecloth restaurant. And they're cheering and screaming and whistling. during the World Series. But worse than that, some old ladies, white-haired liberal yahoos, are jumping up like they're suddenly young again and in love, screaming, "Yay, Cinco Giants!" And I'm getting crazy and angry by the second. I'm curling up into the booth. My feet are curling up in the tongue of my shoes. I don't know what to do. And I start to complain about the morons, the average moron. Whereupon one of the family members, who's much smarter than me, says, "Hey, Dad, lighten up." He said, "The average man is so beaten down, this is all they can do to express themselves." So I start to scream and say, "That's why we have Obama in the White House, because of these average morons who can only scream about a ball game. Why don't they scream about what he's doing to the country?" Well, that started a family dispute. I got so incensed at the idiots whistling and screaming at the bar that I had to get up and leave and walk out, which was, okay, inappropriate, I get it. I couldn't take it anymore. But their argument was valid. They said that the country is so defeated, the average man is so defeated by political correctness, that the average moron cannot express his political feelings at work or at home, so he takes it all out by cheering on sports figures as though he's them. I said, "Yeah, but that's why we're losing the country." I felt like I was living in Uruguay. See, in Uruguay, I used to laugh at South American countries when I was a kid. I would see the insanity of the soccer games, and the people would go crazy over soccer. Little did I know it was because they were living in an authoritarian regime, a nation, where there was very little dissent permitted, no political discussion permitted. And now we become that in this country, I thought to myself. So I was saying, "Don't you understand that the average man can save America?" And they were saying, "No, the average man can't do anything." I say, "What are you talking about? The election's coming up in a few days. My whole book, Stop the Coming Civil War, is about vote Republican." And he said, "What difference is that going to make? They're the same as Democrats." I said, "No, my point in the whole book, my entire thesis, is that once we put these dumb Republicans in power, we're going to lobby them day and night, 24/7. We're not going to let them live. We're not going to let them breathe. We're not going to let them eat. We're not going to let them golf unless they protect our borders, our language, and our culture." He said, "They won't do it. The Republicans won't change. It's over." See, now, ultimately, I am the optimist, believe it or not. And maybe you're not. Are you as optimistic as me that at the election, when we vote in Republicans and throw the Islamic, the Bolshevik Islamic Party out, change from Democrat to Bolshevik Islamic Party, USA, because fundamentally their policies are that of the Bolsheviks and that of the Islamists. So can the average man save America? My position is absolutely. That's why I wrote the whole book. That's why I wrote the book. Now, concurrent with that, about Ebola and quarantine and stuff like that, I want to talk about an email I received from a very famous author who's written 30 books who will remain anonymous. He's written 30 books. You would know the name, but I'm not going to read it. "Morning, Michael Savage. You're the one on the firing line. Every day, now and then, I get a small taste of what we're all up against. A few years ago, I did a book, a satire on political correctness. Guess what happened? I was audited 2 years in a row following it. After I had been told by one New York publisher that if I published it, I would never publish in New York again. Of course, I have. I also wrote another book about drone warfare, after which Air Force Intelligence called me to warn that they had credible information that a fatwa had been issued against my life," he writes. "Savage, I've just read your Stop the Coming Civil War. I agree with you about the state of matters in the United States and tell my grandchildren they will live in tyranny. Only, Michael, you seem to be more optimistic than I. I guess I was a cop too long," he writes. "I'm afraid Americans have been so dumbed down, become so complacent and sheepish, that they have already given up their liberty for perceived security and will fight now only for more entitlements. I fear we are now living through the decline of Western civilization. But, Michael, keep up the good fight, my friend, and if I may assist in any way, all you have to do is let me know. God bless. Anonymous." Can you believe this? What's going on behind the scenes? See, I had written, he had sent me his novel, and then I wrote him a one-paragraph email like this. It says, "Your great prophetic novel, which the New York naval gazers refused to touch." And I said, "It is getting increasingly dangerous for we few brave souls who see the new Soviet system, which has been installed. Sports being the opiate of the masses, I had a big family argument last night in a crowded white tablecloth restaurant over the stupidity of the average man. Cheering, whistling while the band plays on. The same suddenly brazen dolts who refuse to say a word about President Ebola, cheering, whistling, Even the white grannies jumping for joy over their giants, while the true giants are forced to take refuge in caves. Anyway, my friend, thanks for thinking of me and keep on firing the torpedo. So he had sent me that back. You understand what was going on in my head? And that's why I say it's a Manic Monday. Let's hear it again as people while and dial 855-400-728 to the Savage Nation. Can the average man save America? Is it fair to quarantine health workers returning from Ebola zone? Duh. How do you feel about the illegal alien from Mexico who shot two deputies to death because of Governor Brown and Barack Obama's open... Turn off the music. How do you feel about the two California deputies shot to death by the illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported twice, who killed two deputies? You want to hear how the Associated Press has become the Soviet Press? They should rename themselves the Soviet Press from AP to SP. Listen to this headline. Suspect in California deputy deaths had many names. You know, whoever wrote this, if I were the president, I'd try him. I'd try this SOB for crimes against humanity. I don't mean the man who shot the sheriffs. He'd get the death sentence in 30 days. I mean the writer who wrote suspect in California deputy deaths had many names. No, the headline is, illegal alien from Mexico, deported twice, kills two deputies in cold blood. So the writer for the Associated Press, Elliot Spaggett, is a maggot. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Oh, I'm shaking things up. I'm one of those few people who can reinvent my show almost every day. How many years have I been playing Blue Monday by Fats Domino? Many of you are having a neurotic reaction to the fact that I'm playing a different song on Monday. You feel like your life is disorganized. All of you with OCD, relax, calm down. It is another Manic Monday in the Savage Nation. And we're talking about the insanity of the federal government, how they're putting all of our lives at risk with their, oh, don't quarantine people. No, let a person with Ebola run wild in the streets and violate every rule of epidemiology, every rule of sanity, and then put idiots out in starched white coats like they know what they're talking about when they're nothing but political operatives. It's unbelievable to me what the people will tolerate. And then in California, there's a heartbreaking story, which I touched on. Suspect in California deputy deaths had many names. No, he's an illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported twice, thrown out of the country, drug peddler, convicted for possession of drugs for sale in Arizona, then arrested and thrown back into Mexico in 01 again. And now he came back. He shot one officer through the forehead. And two deputies approached a couple on a road, were shot with an AR-15 assault rifle. Homicide detective Michael David Davies, 42, shot dead for this illegal alien from Mexico with many names. So I blame Governor Brown for his pandering to illegal aliens. I blame Barack Obama. I blame Dianne Feinstein. I blame Nancy Pelosi. But I blame you, the people, and I especially blame police and their wives who vote Democrat for this to happen. And for you to go in that booth in 10 days and still press the D shows me that you don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. KSFO here in San Francisco, Glenn, you're calling on the shooting deaths because no one's talking about it. Two of them shot dead by an illegal alien. Why are they pushing? Why does the CHP push for Brown?
Well, I'm a retired CHP motorcycle officer out of Marin County. And I found it. We get a periodical, and it's called the APB. It's mailed to us every month. And when Brown ran against Meg Whitman, they endorsed Brown, our association. And frankly, I mean, I couldn't believe it. But the more I thought about it, it was obvious. I mean, Jerry Brown was going to take care of the association, was going to, you know, probably increase, you know, portions of the budget for the Highway Patrol. Salaries, retirement benefits, whatever.
Yes, but you can't collect retirement if you're shot dead by an illegal alien, can you?
Well, I didn't vote for him, so, I mean...
No, I understand. I mean, can't they put their lives ahead of their retirement fund? You know, look, I live in California, Glenn, as you well know. I think you and I have met. The fact of the matter is this state is becoming a slaughterhouse. It's very dangerous right now. And I pity the CHP officers. I pity the sheriff's departments. I pity the municipal cops. They're facing an almost Herculean, impossible task. They have to arrest these illegal aliens who are drug dealers, the illegal aliens who are drug dealers, and they're afraid to do it. They're afraid to touch them for fear they're going to be sued or lose their job. So all of us suffer as a result.
Yeah, but my guess, Michael, is that this wasn't up to the individual highway patrolman. Look, the individual highway patrolman knows Jerry Brown is corrupt. Yeah, doesn't care about them.
No, I understand that the CHP can endorse Jerry Brown, but then the officers go into a private booth. That's the beauty of America. We're not yet living in North Korea where you have to open in front of a political vote in front of a political apparatchik. We have secret ballots. We're allowed to vote in private. That's the whole object. So we can go against our union, can't we?
Well, yes, but I mean, look, probably 80-90% of the officers are going to vote against Brown, regardless of who the...
Is that true, Glenn? Do you sense that the man in the street knows this and will not vote in another Democrat because they realize their lives are at risk because of the illegals that they're pandering to? I would think so. Glenn, stay on the line. Are you the CHP guy who was injured in a motorcycle accident?
I was, but we've never met.
But okay, but we know each other through that accident, correct?
No, we've never talked. I've listened to you for years, but I've never talked to you.
Well, my friend, I'm sending you a gift today for my thanks for you and all the other California highway patrolmen and women out there who do the job that keep us safe, and the gift is a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. Please stay on the line. It is now 27 minutes after the hour, and that opens up one line at 855-472-8282. We now shift to Ebola. We're watching madness in front of our eyes. Total insanity. The New York governor, along with the New Jersey governor, issued a quarantine order, which has now basically been overturned by Barack Hussein Obama. Now, why would Barack Hussein Obama fight something as commonsensical as quarantining someone who has been in Africa? Why? In those countries where Ebola's raging. What?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
Contracted the disease in West Africa, recovered, and were released from the hospital.
President Ebola is
the first of the
now.
Two Dallas nurses who were diagnosed, Nina Pham, was declared Ebola-free, and yesterday I was proud to welcome her to the Oval Office and give her a big hug.
Gave her a big hug, right.
The other nurse, Amber Vincent, continues to improve as well.
Right.
And in Africa, the countries of Senegal and Nigeria were declared free of Ebola. A reminder that this disease can be contained and defeated.
But what the liar-in-chief is not telling you is that the reason Nigeria and Senegal are declared free of Ebola is precisely because they have a travel ban from the West African nations where this disease is right now out of control. So why would he leave that out? Why would Obama choose to leave out the travel bans that African nations have put in to control the spread of this disease? Why would he leave that out? Why would he continue to deceive the American people? This is so puzzling, it's beyond belief. And there's only two answers to this. One is that he's being misadvised by those two Dr. Silvanas there, that Fauci in the white starch coat, and that other one who's disappeared. Have you noticed they've disappeared, the CDC liar? Notice you haven't seen him? Have you noticed they've shifted the propaganda ministry? The propaganda ministry has removed the liar from the CDC because he couldn't peddle his bill of goods. He was roundly criticized. Everyone saw right through him. Notice he's not being seen anymore. Who have they marched out? Why, the handsome Dr. Fauci in a starched white coat, surrounded by other clowns in starched white coats, who tell you, move along, you've got nothing to worry about, we just kissed an Ebola patient on the lips. Where is the CDC guy? Where'd they move him? Where'd he go? Where is he? Is he practicing gynecology somewhere in Africa? Where'd they send him? He failed at his job. Now they got the smooth-talking Fauci. He thinks he's more handsome and more glib than the other one. But they're not doing the right thing, and I can prove it to you in one sentence. How can I, Michael Savage, prove it to you in one sentence? Army isolates troops returning from Liberia. Joint Chiefs of Staff urge broad Ebola quarantine. They're more concerned about reality than they are about the clown in the White House, the imposter in the White House, the liar in the White House, the imposter in the White House. who cares nothing about the health of the nation. The Joint Chiefs at least care about their troops, and they know that of the 3,000 to 5,000 sent to these countries, to Liberia, I guess, in this case, at least one of them, statistically, one of them might contract Ebola and come back symptom-free and spread it through the military. That's logic, isn't it? 101, something Obama never studied at Columbia. He was too stoned. He missed logic and scientific method. He was studying the method of Saul Alinsky, along with Hillary Clinton. You know, it's exasperating when it's so clear to anybody with more than a high school education what these people are doing to us. That's why I get exasperated. That's why it's hard for me. And that's why I still have faith in the common man. I say the common man can, on the election day, just move from the D column to the R column and we can save the country. Say, oh, come on, they're all the same. Well, that's the exact attitude that will destroy the country forever and for good. Are you telling me that if Harry Reid, who's certainly not up for re-election, but if he loses his authority in the Senate, are you telling me this country would be the same once Harry Reid has moved out of that position of power? It's not true. Are you telling me that a landslide against the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party would not send, this earthquake wouldn't send a shockwave through their bowels? You're telling me that they wouldn't wake up the next day saying, holy God, the people are not that stupid? We better change our tune? Oh, they would. Oh, they would. You got to do it. You got to vote. It's the only thing we got left. Otherwise, we're finished. If we let this rogue president run roughshod over us, as he's doing, I don't know that this country can survive two more years, frankly. I truly don't. And I think it's the average man who can save America. That was my argument in the restaurant when I saw the clowns jumping up. Giants, yay! Moron, yay! Giants, that's her whole life. I could see enjoying the game. I could see getting a kick out of it. But what's the jumping up in a restaurant? An old white-haired lunatic. What's she jumping for? She hadn't had sex in 30 years. All she does is eat pasta at night with her husband who's half dead. Now all of a sudden she's jumping for joy. Jumping for joy. Her Giants are winning. Oh, she's suddenly excited again. Suddenly excited. Verbal Viagra. Our job right now is to move people from the D column to the R column. Stark contrast between the Canadian minister's reaction to the Ottawa attacks and Obama's. The president, Savage reminded his audience, refused to call it terrorism, referring to it as an act of senseless violence. Can you believe this? Do you remember this, what this man did last week? Now, how can you trust the man who calls terrorism senseless violence to tell you that he knows anything about Ebola? How? 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 I wonder, why am I getting excited? I shouldn't. I feel like I'm being tortured by this guy. I feel like I'm being tortured. WABC Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. This is a pleasure to talk to you. I just want to let you know that I received your book from Amazon.com on Friday afternoon, and by Saturday night I was totally finished with it. It was an excellent book, and it's definitely a must read for everyone. I mean, I've known about a lot of that stuff you talked about in the book, but I love the facts that you put there, and I think the best part is after you talk about a certain topic, you explain why it's important to us and why it's important that we do hit the R column.
Here's the thing. If you take some of the statements in Stop the Coming Civil War in writing to a wife or an in-law or a neighbor or a coworker and say, look, please, just at least listen to the argument. Humor me. I'm talking about people who you can reason with. If you show it to them in black and white, you have a chance to get them to think. You understand that, don't you?
Exactly.
Of course you do. Of course you understand. I'm talking rhetorically. And so, yeah, you could say it all you want, but they're not going to believe you. But if you show it to them in black and white, as I did and spelled it out, and show them the references, they will maybe say you're wrong anyway, I'll still vote for them. They may not, though. They may go in the booth and say, you know what, the guy may be right. Most people won't admit they're wrong, incidentally. I'm one of the few people on earth who will admit his shortcomings and that I'm wrong. I'm one of the few people on earth who can do it, who can say I was wrong or I have shortcomings. Most people cannot do it. They can't do it. Took me 2 days to call my family and say, you were right, I was wrong. I shouldn't have yelled at the idiots in the bar. I shouldn't have stormed out of the restaurant. But I left over the Bolognese. That's the worst part of it. Finally, they gave some good food there, I mean, in the midst of the hate from Il Fanaio, the hateful waiters of Il Fanaio and Corte Madera. It's hard you could eat there without a guard against a hate mask. I don't know how they stay in business. The cooks are good, but the waiters, my God. They should have a spitometer in the food there. Can anyone make a spit detector for food in restaurants where hostile illegals work? I'm not saying in that restaurant, any restaurant. If someone could develop like a litmus paper that you put in a, let's say a dish comes, you could put it in and see if human any human DNA is in it. It like turns a different color. It reads, it sets off an alarm that says illegal spit in your food. Yeah, you don't like it, do you? You don't like hearing that? Well, ask some of the people what goes on in these restaurants. See if it doesn't happen. Jesse Jackson admitted he did it when he was a waiter and a young man. So he's saying it's still not going on. Look how well it did. Look how well he's done. All right, here we are. Michael Savage. It's Monday already. We're talking about quarantine. What an exciting topic. Oh, Mike, what do I want to talk about? I don't know if I can do it. The monologue, the leftists will kill us all. Headlines. Suspect in shootings of Northern California deputies deported twice. No, he's not a suspect. He executed two people, and it's because of people like you at the Associated Press that he did it. Gunman in Canada attack prepared a video that shows he was driven by ideological and political motives. Obama said he didn't know why he did it. But the gunman who shot and killed a soldier at Canada's National War Memorial had prepared a video of himself, shows he was driven by ideological and political motives. You have to read 15 times to understand what they were. They're still analyzing it. Gee, I wonder if it had anything to do with Islam. I don't know. I don't just want to be political motives. He was a Republican? A Democrat? Was he a Zoroastrian? Was he an Indian? No. Oh, Islam. You have to read on and on. You have to read the Encyclopedia Britannica to get to the... 5-year-old boy tested for Ebola in New York City after he turned from... Fill in the blank. Here's the headline in the New York Post. 5-year-old boy tested for Ebola in New York City after he turned from blank. Fill in the country. A, Ireland. B, Israel. C, Africa. I think even a Democrat could check Africa. I think that may become soon illegal to say Africa. That could be on. If you say Africa, by the way, without anything complimentary, you could be arrested soon. That'll be the next thing in America. 5-year-old boy who just returned from West Africa was transported to Bellevue Hospital with some possible Ebola symptoms. Child was vomiting and had a 1 in 3 feet when he was carried from his Bronx home by EMS workers wearing hazmat suits. He looked weak, said a neighbor, was really, really out of it. The boy returned with his family from Guinea Saturday night with 5 members of the family were being quarantined inside the apartment. Well, that's illegal. You can't quarantine Africans in their apartment. That's so racist. I mean, that's putting them in a prison. Nurse Casey Hickox says she's going to sue. Casey Hickox treated Ebola patients, and she's a hero. But she's a criminal because she was quarantined, and now she's going to sue because she was isolated. And you can't do that to people against their will. After all, that would violate the protocols of the CDC. There was a quarantine. And it made perfect medical sense and perfect epidemiological sense. And it's the number one thing you do when a patient shows symptoms of an epidemic that could get out of control. But don't tell that to Barack Obama. Don't tell that to Nancy Fauci. Can't tell it to Nancy Fauci. Can't tell it to Nancy. Don't tell it to Anthony Fauci. What else do you want to talk about? Ebola. What a time we're living through. By the way, you know, there's no silver lining to this other than the Democrats are way down in the polls now. It's all over Ebola. They don't know why. I'll tell them why. Because everyone could see the difference here between an intelligent decision and a political decision. And they know Obama's incapable of intelligence. He's only capable of political decisions. Never a rational or such decision is possible from Obama. So they know that all the Democrats are the same. They occasionally get one who does the right thing, like, what's his name, Cuomo, did the right thing. And Christie did the right thing. But now they're backing down. And Obama keeps droning on about Ebola. Again, the same thing with the lies. He won't talk about travel bans, which is what's kept the African nations Ebola-free. And the most important thing for you to remember is you're being lied to. You're being lied to at every level, at federal, state, and local levels. You're being lied to by the president. You're being lied to by the CDC. You're being lied to by the NIH, in my opinion. I want you to listen now to Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health. Here's Anthony Fauci in clip 12.
I don't want to be directly criticizing what the decision that was made, but we have to be careful that there are unintended consequences. The best way to stop this epidemic is to help the people in West Africa. We do that by sending people over there, not only from the USA, but from other places. We need to treat them, returning people, with respect.
Again, respect the liberal platitudes. Now, this is a man who knows better. He's a liar. He's trying to brainwash you with his white coat and his Have they come out with stethoscopes as well as their white coat? I love that. Whatever they do, the Soviet-style press conference, the stooge doctors, they come out not only with a white starch coat, but with a stethoscope in case you couldn't put two and two together, in case you were confusing them with, I don't know who else wears a white coat, a chef. So in order to make sure that the average moron out there who cheers on the Giants and nothing else knows that they're important doctors, they wear not only a starched white coat, but they hang a stethoscope over their neck like they're using it. They just rushed out from the treatment center. That's a stethoscope. Now, in the next big lie, listen to clip 13 now.
We've learned that we've got to be more, continue to be aggressive in our educating people to understand. Because right now we have a devastating epidemic in West Africa, and we're having an epidemic of fear in the United States. So we've got to continue to try and educate people about what they need to or do not need to be afraid of.
Thanks, Anthony. That's very nice. So you want to now tell us that anyone with common sense is full of fear, and they should trust you and Barack Obama and your brainwashing messages, which are relentless. You are hysterical because the people have caught on to the fact that you're all a bunch of incompetent liars and that you've put politics first and public health second, and you don't know what to do with it. And that's why you're going on the assault and attacking the whole concept of quarantine. Here again is the man in the white coat who, again, in case you don't know, the man in the white coat knows he's the lead spokesmouth now on Ebola. They took the other one off the stage. He flopped. Whatever his name was. Does anyone remember his name, the CDC guy? The guy with the weird mouth? Frieden. We heard Frieden was sent on a family vacation to Boca Raton. I'm joking. We don't know where he is. They gave him a one-way ticket to Boca Raton to monitor the Chads. They said, sir, you're not going to Chad anymore to deal with the Ebola epidemic. You're going to go down to Florida and look for the hanging Chads. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
Well, I'm through with Manic Monday. I decided to go back to Depressive Monday. I feel better listening to this. Go figure. So we're talking about the propaganda ministry of the government putting out the propaganda that all is well, you don't need quarantine, you don't need this, you don't need that, just send billions to Africa now. Again, to Africa. This would be like the Black Plague is raging out of control in Europe. Say, well, okay, the best way to stop it is what? Send doctors to control the Black Plague or keep everyone who is living around the Black Plague from coming into your country? Idiots! Idiots, everything is upside down. It's the world in Brobbingdang. It's like Brobbingdang with this guy. Everything's upside down. You know, during my show, I go on my email. I have two accounts, AOL and Yahoo. This Yahoo, I don't understand this. Where does the spam come from? Asian beauties looking for boyfriends. Mix them with the credit cards and the Viagra ads. Asian beauties, lonely Asian girls looking for boyfriends. Brazilian women hook up with Latina beach babes. Where does this garbage come from? I never signed up for here. Just hook up, find sex partners in your area. I never signed up for this. Look at this one: cougar dating. View thousands of local cougar profiles and pictures. I mean, I've saved animals in Africa through money, but I never saved cougars. Viagra, web store exclusive, life insurance, boost my credit, learn a language, get a credit card. What an insane country! I never saw. Oh my God. I don't know how they got this on my web. How do I get this? Cheap auto insurance, Viagra, roofing, a roofing deal, DirecTV, a breakfast coupon. Again, Asian beauties. If they're so beautiful, what are they looking for? What are they out on a website if they're so beautiful? That's what I ask myself. But I don't know. Where does this stuff come from? How does it get onto your server, whatever? Can the average person save America? Answer is yes. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity, Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's good lyrics when you think about it. Very interesting. She's heading out to the bowling alley tonight. It's all safe and clean now. So the U.S. soldiers returning from Liberia are now being monitored for Ebola in Italy. Who was right, me or fake rapper? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. 2 weeks ago, fake rapper on CNN attacked me, saying that I was attacking the president, that I didn't know what I was talking about, I'm not an expert on Ebola. So fake rapper now has egg on his face. Fake rapper on CNN didn't see the latest story. U.S. soldiers returning from Liberia are being placed in isolation in Vicenza, Italy, out of concern for the Ebola virus. Well, it's actually not out of concern for the virus. The virus, I mean, making a, who wrote this? What an idiot wrote this? At concern for the Ebola virus? That's some English. Not out of concern for the Ebola virus. It's out of concern for the soldiers, idiot. The soldiers being monitored, including Major General Darrell Williams, who was the commander of the U.S. Army in Africa, but turned over duties to the 101st Airborne Division. Do you understand what Obama's doing to this country? I don't think you understand it. Why would you bring the 101st Airborne into an Ebola zone without expecting some of them to get infected, and thereby weakening one of our most elite military forces? Can anyone please tell me I'm wrong? Can anyone please call this show and say, Savage, you're wrong? The enemy within is destroying us. This is the most dangerous time in American history. What I just saw in front of my eyes is worse than I could ever imagine. I could see sending CDC doctors over, U.S. Public Health Service doctors over. That's what they're trained for. But why would this man, this shadowy, strange president of ours, who has done so many things that are questionable at best, take 101st Airborne Division and send them into this Ebola zone, when we already know I was right? Didn't I say to you, if you send thousands of troops over there, it's logical that at least one of them would come back having been exposed to the Ebola virus? Remember I said it and I was attacked by CNN's fake rapper? Remember that one? We have the audio. We're going to play it in a minute.
Speaking of wild conspiracy theories, conservative talk radio host Michael Savage, who has one of the biggest radio audiences in the country, has even been suggesting that this is all some Obama plot to purposely infect the nation.
There is not a sane reason to take 3,000 or 4,000 troops and send them into a hot Ebola zone without expecting at least one of them to come back with Ebola, unless you want to infect the nation with Ebola.
It's hard to even know where to start with that one. The idea that the president
wants to infect soldiers. Shut up. Shut up, fake rapper. You'll be disappeared soon like the CDC talker. They'll disappear you from CNN. Your next stop is MSNBC, and when that doesn't work, you'll be teaching journalism in an Arkansas junior high school. You'll go to the Dan Rather School of Journalism after this embarrassment. Fake rapper you are. Now, I understand that on the blogs, people are saying I don't really have a degree in epidemiology, so let me clear the air up, since many people don't know the truth. Let's start with my educational qualifications. I know it may be boring. Bachelor of Science, Queens College of the City, University of New York, 1963. 1970, Master's degree in Ethnobotany. 1973, Master's degree in Medical Anthropology. Now, both of the master's degrees were at the level of a PhD, but because they were so unique in that regard, I had to get out of the PhD programs and put them into a master's program, and I said I'll get a PhD later on. But both of them were better than most PhDs being done today. And then I went to the University of California at Berkeley. I enrolled in 1974, and in 1978, actually in 1977, I was awarded the PhD in nutritional ethnomedicine, which includes... one of the specialties is epidemiology. Now, what most of the illiterate dummies that were attacking me don't understand something. Most of the sub-moronic illiterate dummies who support Obama and are trying to smear me don't understand something. There were very few interdisciplinary students permitted into the PhD program at Berkeley in that time. It was a very difficult program to enter. And the reason was is they didn't want to give just an ordinary doctoral student the latitude to study independent, to combine several different disciplines and do an independent study. And then, by the way, still come before a board, an oral board, and a written board, all that. So they had to make sure you were at the highest level of background and intelligence. And I went through the most stringent, I think, 4 hours of my whole life to this date in order to be qualified to enter that interdisciplinary program. And I remember it to this day as one of the most difficult things I ever did in my life, sitting in that room, watching the clock tower, hearing the clock tick on his desk. And he grilled me as though I was on trial and basically was asking me, am I qualified? Why? What would I do with this privilege? How would I combine epidemiology with human nutrition and anthropology? And then, of course, once he accepted me, I then had to go ahead and do a thesis, which I did. And my PhD dissertation was published as a book eventually, by the way. I'm telling you this because people are trying to smear me because I'm a leader, not only in talk radio, but also in the subject that you're hearing about. And the government now wants total control over the propaganda. They want total and absolute control over what you're supposed to think about the dangers of Ebola. And I'm not going to stand there and roll over to them. I'm not going to do it. My credentials, I knew one day. And by the way, here's something funny. People would say to me, why do you want a PhD way back then? I said, well, I'd like to be a professor, but that wasn't the reason. I said, in the future world in which we are going to be living, all of us, credentials will become the most important thing in argument. It's an amazing thing. I never said this on the air. I remember, and I remember when I came to that conclusion. You want to hear that side of it? Those of you who are Savage followers, aficionados. I was watching a movie in the year, I don't know what year it was, the 2001 by Stanley Kubrick. When was that done? In the 60s? To this day, I don't remember. It was in the new. I was in Hawaii, working for one of my graduate degrees, young family, and it was in the CinemaScope Theater. And I went in with a group of college friends, grad student friends, and we watched 2001. And I was so amazed at the future that Kubrick portrayed, where everybody on that spacecraft was a doctor. And then I said to myself, in the future world in which we're going to live, the credential is going to become the most important basis for any argument. I said, I absolutely have to have a first-class PhD in order to do what I want to do in the world. So that when we argue, and someone starts in with, well, I'm an MD from X. I said, fine, I'm a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. Now let's move on. Let's move past that. Put your shield down and let's have a discussion. See, in other words, I'll clash the shield of my credential against anyone's shield in the government. And then we put our shields down. Now let's talk logic here and scientific method. Not government rhetoric about open borders, okay, and the superior virtue of the oppressed. I'm sick and tired of hearing that rubbish. It'll kill all of us, as those two sheriffs' families who are grieving now know. The asylum policies, the sanctuary policies of Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Brown killed those sheriff's deputies as sure as I'm standing here. And how any cop, any wife of any police officer could ever vote Democrat after this is beyond me. I give up. I mean, I know how civil servants think. It's all about pensions. I get it. But remember, they don't know how you vote in the booth. You could say, yeah, I'm voting for Brown. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's for increased pensions. But when you go in that booth, you're not living in North Korea. They don't know how you vote. Do you understand it's a secret ballot? That's the essence of a democracy, is a secret ballot. I'm surprised the Democrats haven't come out and say you have to show how you voted. I mean, maybe that should be exposed. Because after all, you can't have a secret ballot in a totalitarian society. Can you, nurse? Phoenix, Arizona. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was going to cover a couple of issues while everybody's going on about everything distraction. And you did an excellent job about this. Sheriff's deputies in California. The second issue I'd like to touch on, it started back in July of 2013. In Phoenix, Arizona, there was a gangland shooting. One of the firearms that was recovered was from Fast and Furious, and it appears that Eric Withholder's Justice Department told him not to talk about it. And
well, Barack Obama just invoked executive privilege for Eric Holder's wife, if you can believe it. But I don't want to lose scope of what happened. Two sheriff's deputies were shot dead by an illegal alien who had been deported twice for selling drugs. He had been sent back to Mexico, and he came back because of Governor Brown's open borders policies, because of Nancy Pelosi's asylum policies, because of Dianne Feinstein's asylum policies. These officers are dead, in my opinion. He was removed in 1997, possession of drugs for sale in Arizona, arrested and sent back to Mexico again in 2001. He was living on the multiple identities. So not only was he an illegal alien, he was a criminal illegal alien. So Obama now wants to grant them amnesty to all of them? They don't even know who he is. Mauro Marquez, his father-in-law, told the LA Times that he always knew him as Louis Monroy and said his son-in-law worked as a house painter. He said the couple married about 14 years ago in Arizona and moved to Utah a couple of years later. Marquez told the newspaper that he and his wife spent time with them each year around Christmas at their home in West Valley City, a suburb of Salt Lake City. His daughter, Janelle Marquez Monroy, 38, was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and carjacking on Friday. See, the doll was with her husband during most of the crime spree, which began when Sacramento County Sheriff's Deputy Danny Oliver, 47, was shot dead in the forehead as he checked out a suspicious car in a motel parking lot. The couple are accused of leading authorities in a six-hour chase that included two carjackings before their capture. One motorist who resisted surrendering his car keys was shot in the face by the peaceful, loving asylee. Two deputies who approached the couple on a road were shot with an AR-15 assault rifle. Homicide detective Michael Davis Jr., 42, died at a hospital. A search of Utah court records for Marcelo Marquez, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture, don't you? But here we go. Krista Sorensen of Salt Lake City, here's Associated Press now. Krista Sorensen of Salt Lake City said Monroy Bracamonte and his brother mowed her lawn and fixed her sprinklers about 4 years ago, describing them as just super nice, decent, hardworking, trying to figure out how to make a living, close quote. They distributed handbills that said Brothers Landscaping. Really? Watch out for the gardener within, is that it? Here's the whole system right now. And this is an example of what happens when you have lunatic, liberal, corrupt lunatic liberals running everything. So what, he's going to grant amnesty now to all the illegals here, including the others who are here hiding on murder and drug running? And who do you think's on the front lines? The cops. And then it'll be you. After the thin blue line is gone, there's no one left but you. Have a nice day and vote Democrat if you want to commit Harry Caray. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. We have breaking news on the Savage Nation. As Michael Savage predicted, U.S. soldiers returning from Liberia are being sent into isolation in Italy for monitoring. You heard it first on the Savage Nation. You will not be hearing this from fake rapper on CNN who has been proven to be the faker he's always been. They said I was wrong. Well, if I'm so wrong, then why has the military placed these soldiers in isolation in Italy? Because they're concerned that they were exposed. They may be spreading it. That's all. In fact, it's so bad that those being monitored, including Major General Darrell Williams, who was the commander of the U.S. Army in Africa, there are currently 11 soldiers now in isolation. And to make matters even more clear to you, for those of you who want something other than the government propaganda on how safe Ebola is, the U.S. troops were met by Carabinieri in full hazmat suits when they arrived in Italy. Did you hear this? And if this policy remains in effect, and let's hope it does, all soldiers returning from Liberia will be placed in isolation for 21 days. 30 more American soldiers are expected to be isolated today, confined to a building and unable to see their families. The decision made by the Army and applies only to soldiers returning from Liberia. The idiotic defense secretary, Chuck Bagel, he alone will decide whether to make isolation apply to members of all services. The great Chuck Hagel, a genius, a medical genius, additional military genius, also a medical genius. He's pondering it now. He's eating a bagel somewhere, a bagel and lox with a schmear, and he'll make the decision in consultation with Nancy Fauci. I never saw anything like this. If it was a comedy show, I'd be laughing at it. This is not a comedy. This is a tragedy. They put the commander of the U.S. military's operation in isolation in Italy. What is that telling you? That I was right and they were wrong? Okay, so what is the good of being right when you have a government that's always wrong? What good is it? And what good is it if you are right and you have propagandists like fake rapper on CNN? What good is it? WABC George, why would Obama be exposing the military to the Ebola virus? Why? George, give me your opinion.
Listen, I think that, you know, they one military guy upgraded Ebola to a grade one's weapon. So for that reason, we have to go over there. We've got to conquer this with technology. Otherwise, the jihadis could get this. They could get this over here, and they could...
I missed what you said. I don't understand what you just said. You have to make it more clear. What?
The military graded Ebola to a grade one's weapon, meaning that the jihadis could get this, bring it over here, and they can create havoc. And if we don't have technology, look, there's two nurses that got infected, and they got cured. So they already passed the FDA. They did the...
But hold on. Wait. You know, you're saying so many things at once that you're not making any sense. How did the nurses get Ebola if they were wearing hazmat suits and they were so careful and you can't get it casually? How'd they get it?
Savage, Dr. Savage, they got it. But look,
No. Don't just go over my words. No one's answering the fundamental question. We're listening to Obama the liar say you can't get it from casual contact. Well, how did the expert doctors get it? How'd that doctor who rode the subway and go bowling get it if he wore a hazmat suit and he knew everything about protecting himself? How did he get it?
He got it. But the thing is...
Well, I understand. So how did he get it? Tell me how he got it.
Look, let's not ponder that thought. Look at
let's ponder that. I want to ponder that. It means he got it casually. It means he picked it up somewhere without hugging and kissing an Ebola patient.
You're absolutely right. You got to have a quarantine. Everybody that comes out of West Africa...
Oh, thank you. Okay. So now why is Obama exposing all these troops to Ebola? Why?
We say follow the money. They have a cure. They have it. They want it here. No...
What, they want to use the vaccine? They want to spread Ebola in America so they can sell a drug? I don't believe that. I don't want to believe that the pharmaceutical industry is that corrupt. You want me to believe that? That this is a plot to bring Ebola to America so they can make money off it? Maybe you've been watching too much Boardwalk Empire.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Do what you want. I don't care. Meanwhile, U.S. soldiers returning from Liberia are now in isolation in Italy. Why is that? Because they're defying the political president and the political appointees. They know what they need to do to protect their troops. And I have been urging mandatory isolation since the beginning of this epidemic. I've been in front of the epidemic. I have training in epidemiology, as I've explained to you today in detail. And the fact of the matter is, they're violating every rule of textbook epidemiology 101. If you were to go graduate school and you wanted to take a course in epidemiology, the first rule is you isolate the patients who enter these areas, the individuals who enter the area where the disease is, the epidemic is prevalent. You don't let them into an area where it isn't. That's rule number one. Look at the history of epidemiology. Same thing. So they're violating the rules of the science of epidemiology itself. Despite their white coats and stethoscopes, they're not doing us a favor here by taking their boss's open borders policies and pushing them down our throats. The average man is being exposed to the most cynical form of propaganda I've ever seen in my entire life. So how would you like to deal with this? How would you like to deal with the fact that in the midst of two sheriff's deputies being shot to death by an illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported twice, shot him dead, Obama is railroading us into amnesty for illegals, millions and millions and millions of them with green cards? Huh? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that one? Las Vegas, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Anyways, being shot myself down in the Arizona area by an undocumented alien, that's what they're referred to as under the law, did not have a proper name. They couldn't go after this guy because not having the proper name for the search warrant. We still continue in my neighborhood to have people run down, mainly pedestrians, who are undocumented aliens because they drive away. This nonsense of these undocumented aliens, that they're all goody-two-shoes, it just got to stop. And it's just unfair.
Right. I understand, Mark. It's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. I think the people are going to snap if they keep it up.
And
if these pro-illegal activists keep it up, if the Black Panthers keep it up by saying, yeah, by the way, that was a good thing, the guy who hit the cop with an axe in New York. Did you see what the Black Panther said in New York? the father of the guy who hit the cop with the axe. Did you happen to see what he said? His son did the right thing. Can you believe things like this are going on? Now, you have to ask yourself, why is this happening? Is it just happening by accident?
Mike.
No, it's happening because Obama has, with Eric Holder, given a wink and a nod to this kind of behavior. You look at what they did during the Ferguson riots, during the peak of them. Didn't they go down there and tell the rioters they were good, very good to be doing it, and they were going to have the federal government on their side, and they should indict that white evil cop? Isn't that what Holder went down there for?
And Sharpton as well.
Well, the word Sharpton has become a verb. It's no longer a name. It's a verb now for evil behavior, in my opinion. Thanks for the call. Teen who joined ISIS says, here I can really be free. You hear this? Do you see this psychosis? Teen who joined ISIS, here I can really be free. She's wearing a black mask. She's treated worse than a camel is treated. But she can murder with impunity. One of the teens who fled Austria to become a poster girl for Jihad Zira has blasted claims that she wants to return home. Here I can really be free, said 15-year-old Sabina Selimovic. She said, I can practice my religion. I couldn't do that in Vienna. Well, good for us. Thank God that stinker got out. Thank God that rotten, stinking corpse with a burqa on got out of Vienna. Under the watchful eye of her jihadist hubby, Selimovic said she was free now that she's a jihadist. She says, I like to eat. The food here is very similar to Austria, even if it's mainly halal food. You can get ketchup here, Nutella, and cornflakes. So what, she's committing jihad for cornflakes? That's amazing. So she's free by being a slave? This is right out of Brave New World. Freedom is slavery. War is peace. Truth or lies. Anyone remember reading that when you were young? Freedom is slavery. War is peace. Truth is lies. I love the one, freedom is slavery. Here's a slave, a jihadist girl slave who thinks she's free. This is like liberals who think that they're free. But as George Orwell also wrote, the more he hears people screaming, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, yahoo, the more he hears their chains rattle. That describes San Francisco's lunatics to a T. They're so free to run around naked and ride a bicycle naked and tie up traffic on a Friday night. They're so free because they're so enslaved by their freedom. 5-year-old New York City boy being tested for Ebola develops fever. So it's getting worse. 5-year-old New York City boy come back from Africa being tested for Ebola develops fever. A heavily bundled 5-year-old Bronx boy being rushed by workers in hazmat suits to Bellevue Hospital, where he then developed a low-grade fever. The boy's mother can also be seen in the video. The family returned Saturday night from Guinea, one of 3 West African countries ravaged by the disease. The child did not have a fever when he was initially examined at Bellevue, but now he has a fever. So-called city health commissioner, so-called Dr. Mary Bassett, said on MSNBC that the boy has a low-grade fever and that the test results are expected by early afternoon. Another health commissioner. Another great health commissioner. Anyway, there it goes. The family's apartment building have not been decontaminated. Many residents this. Workers in suits. Blah, blah, blah. The building hasn't been cleaned out yet, and the mother came out yesterday wearing just a face mask. I wonder if she's eating any bushmeat in there. Did you hear that story that we had on the show that a man called alarmed that they're selling bushmeat in the Bronx? Do you know what bushmeat is? It's not kangaroo in a can. Bushmeat is non-human primates, monkeys, chimpanzees, gorilla meat, that certain of our visitors from Africa and our new immigrants seem to have a like. You know, to them, it's their cuisine. So apparently this is very dangerous. I wonder if they're checking on bushmeat in the farmer's market in the Bronx. The City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, that's a joke. Man, look at the wackos who work in these places. Imagine that. There's a department in the city called the City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. After consulting with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, decided to test the boy for the virus because of his recent travel history and pattern of symptoms. You know, they should arrest them for racism. Well, you think about it. I mean, even if he has Ebola, let's look at it from the ACLU point of view. Even if this poor little African child turns out to have Ebola, did they have a right to test him because of his travel history? Isn't that racist? And the symptoms themselves can be seen as racism. Who says that a fever is not saying that he has fever and he went to Africa is not a racist analysis, a diagnosis, sorry. You have to understand what this is. It's all racism. I think that we should put Al Sharpton in charge of the Ebola epidemic. After all, he has such a sterling degree, and he's a reverend, after all. No one knows where he got his divinity degree because no one can find it. It doesn't stop people from referring to him as reverend. I think we should make him an honorary professor of epidemiology. And I think Al Sharpton's opinion on Ebola should rule in the nation. In fact, the more I think about it, Barack Obama should hire Al Sharpton as the Ebola czar. He'll make certain that there's no racism tied into it. Yep, that's the world we're living in. There's the world we're living in. Now it's getting serious. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Stephanie, welcome to the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi. I just wanted to make a point about the Ebola virus. If it was really so difficult to get, and if the administration wanted to shut up all of us critics and the people who aren't believing their propaganda, all they'd really have to do is parade Thomas Duncan's family around in front of the press and the media and be like, here, see, they were around it. They marinated in it for days in that tiny apartment in Texas, and they didn't get it. But if anyone...
Well, they said that they didn't get it. They're telling us none of them have the symptoms.
I haven't heard that or read that anywhere.
Oh, yeah, they're all disease-free, according to the men in the white coats.
Well, why aren't they interviewing them and showing them that?
Well, I think people are more interested in Kate Upton's wardrobe malfunction and the idiots in striped suits who throw balls around.
That makes sense.
Yeah. In other words, keep your mind on Kate Upton's wardrobe malfunction and which – does anyone take as much umbrage as I do to the disgusting level that baseball players have fallen to with the scraggly, ugly beards, spitting on the mound, constantly spitting, hacking up phlegm? I don't know. I watched the game. I had to turn it off. I had to watch because the family likes sports. I never liked sports. When I was 11, I went through the phase, and I went through the gambling phase. I went to the Yankee Stadium. I caught a ball. I still have the ball to this day. Must be worth quite a penny. I still have a hard ball. 1954 Yankee Stadium. Would you believe it? Hit into the stands. Those were amazing. There's like yellow in my dresser drawer next to the Boy Scout kerchief, 10 Mile River, Boy Scout camp, the whole thing. But I went through the phase quickly between the ages of 9 and 11. I went through gambling and I went through baseball. I kind of outgrew them. Look, if you're grown up and you like it, I know some intelligent people like the game. They can't get enough of it. I'm not knocking. It's not for me. To each his own. That's all. The game for me is borders, language, and culture. That's the only game I'm interested in. That's all. It's the only game that seems to intrigue me. Not Kate Upton's wardrobe malfunction. Alan, WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, about the Ebola and the virus that's been going around. From what I heard in New York City, they were afraid from all the people with no insurance would swarm the hospital when they had flu symptoms, not knowing whether it was flu or Ebola.
Right.
1919, there was a flu epidemic in the New York City area. And I was reading New Jersey state troopers were stationed at the border, not allowing anyone from New York to enter New Jersey unless they had a certified note from a doctor.
Well, that was in the good old days when people had common sense and wanted to protect the citizenry. But now we have a maniac in the White House who could care less about anything except getting as many D's on the ballot as he possibly can. That's all.
And what happened to Ellis Island? It was supposed to be a safe haven where people were quarantined before they moved forward.
That's right. Well, that was in the old days. That's the primitive days when they didn't have intelligent men like Anthony Fauci, up there telling us not to worry, everything's fine. Trust the men in the starched white coats with the stethoscopes. They'll never lie to you.
Of course,
there was a reason for Ellis Island. They had a kid come in or a parent. An immigrant came in, coughing, hacking. They put him on the side, that's all. Doctor came in, gave him a stethoscope, gave him a little touch of here or there. Don't you remember in The Godfather they put Don Corleone, whatever his name was, in isolation because he had TB, remember?
Right, in the sanitarium.
Correct, because in those days, TB was endemic in Italy. And right now, TB is endemic in Mexico, in certain parts of southern Mexico and Central America. But that didn't stop Obama from bringing infected children into America, did it?
No,
and I can prove that he's the responsible party for the TB epidemic that has now resurged in at least one city that I know of, which is Lynn, Massachusetts, because of the unaccompanied minors that he put there.
in the middle of the night. That's all. Next case. So what can you do about it? Isn't the election next week? I don't have a calendar in front of me. I don't. It's next Tuesday, right? It's already the election? Yes or no? Yes. All right. So Tuesday's the big day. Tuesday, you're going in the booth. No one knows what you vote. We live in a society where you still have a secret ballot. The Democrats haven't yet said that you have to show what you how you voted, like in North Korea, to show that you're in love with Kim Jong Obama. And I'm asking you to stop the long march before it's too late. The long march. Please stop the long march, because that's a phrase about Mao Zedong. I fear the worst. Right now, Americans are angrier and more divided than I've seen them since the 1960s. And what fires this rage is that we become a post-constitutional society. And as you've read in Stop the Coming Civil War, the system has been turned upside down. What's right is wrong. What's good is bad. What's subversive is patriotic. We now exist at the whim of lobbyists who control a government that is liable to do anything it wants to satisfy its lust for power. And I can prove that statement. It was the travel industry itself that lobbied for no travel ban to Africa. Did you know that? But I continue on page 16. I have to make it quick. Right now, the nation is in a tinderbox. The nation is a tinderbox that can easily go up in flames because we're increasingly under the thumb of an administration that is destroying our 200-year-old tradition of defending our borders, language, and culture and replacing it with a culture of statelessness and corruption. That's what I wrote in Stop the Coming Civil War. On February 10, 2007, 146 years after Fort Sumter surrendered and the American Civil War began, Barack Obama announced his first presidential campaign in Abraham Lincoln's hometown of Springfield, Illinois. And in that speech declared Obama that, like Lincoln, he was out to free a people and transform a nation. How's that working out for you? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Just another manic Monday.
I'm asking you to take sides in America. The side of truth. And the side of America against lies and propaganda and internationalism. There's no way you can take both sides. We're at the end of the road here with this transformational president. He said he was going to free a people and transform a nation. How'd that work out for you so far in the last 6 years? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that test scores are up, not down? Can anyone listening to the show tell me that our borders are more secure, not less secure? Can anyone listening to the show tell me that English is more firmly the language of the land than it was before this transformational president seized power? I don't think so. I'm asking you in a last-ditch effort to be a good book scout. I want you to go to a bookstore today after the show or tonight or tomorrow. We have only a week left. And be a book scout. The book has been a bestseller now 2 weeks in a row. You don't even know this, do you? My book made it to the New York Times bestseller list 2 weeks in a row. But you don't know about that. No, you don't know about it because Roger Ailes has a vendetta against Michael Savage. The entire Fox Network has blacklisted me. But the book's been a bestseller twice without them. You need to be a book scout. Go in and make sure it's on the bestseller table. If it isn't, move it there. Move it there. Move it there. Take the country back one bookstore at a time. Stop the coming civil war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how I eat Blue Monday. Got to work like
this
a
is Michael Savage. I've called for a travel ban before anyone else in the media. I've called for a mandatory quarantine before anyone else in the media. And you are being given a 24/7 dose of government propaganda unlike any I've ever seen, with a little help from their friends in the government media complex, including Fake Rapper. And so, dedicated to Fake Rapper and the other losers in the media, I would like to read you The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot. We are the hollow men, we are the stuffed men, leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless as wind and dry grass, or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom, remember us, if at all, not as lost violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. Eyes I dare not meet in dreams. In death's dream kingdom, these do not appear. There the eyes are sunlight on a broken column. There is a tree swinging, and voices are in the wind singing, more distant and more solemn than a fading star. Let me be no nearer in death's dream kingdom. Let me also wear such deliberate disguises, rat's coat, crow's skin, cross staves, in a field behaving as the wind behaves. No nearer. Not that final meeting in the twilight kingdom. This is the dead land. This is cactus land. Here the stone images are raised. Here they receive the supplication of a dead man's hand under the twinkle of a fading star. It is like this in death's other kingdom, waking alone at the hour when we are trembling with tenderness, lips that would kiss, form prayers to be broken stone. The eyes are not here. There are no eyes here. In this valley of dying stars, in this hollow valley, this broken jaw of our lost kingdoms, in this last of meeting places, we grope together and avoid speech, gathered on this beach of the tumid river, sightless unless the eyes reappear, as the perpetual star, multifoliate rose of death's twilight kingdom, the hope only of empty men. Here we go round the prickly pear, prickly pear, prickly pear. Here we go round the prickly pear at 5 o'clock in the morning. Between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow, for thine is the kingdom. Between the conception and the creation, between the emotion and the response, falls the shadow, life is very long. Between the desire and the spasm, between the potency and the existence, between the essence and the descent, falls the shadow, for thine is the kingdom, for thine is life, is for thine is the. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Go Giants! Yay! The Hollow Men! Yay! Go Giants! Running around with the flags in the car. The Hollow Men. The Stuffed Men. Headpieces filled with straw. Go Giants! Get the picture? I hope you did. I hope you enjoyed T.S. Eliot. I gave you a little piece of poetry from a dead white male. I realize it's not up to the level of, let us say, the poetry of, oh, I don't know. I can't pick any one of them. I don't know any of them. The current poets. I have no idea who they are. T.S. Eliot was taught in high school when I went to school. Does anyone teach him anywhere? I doubt it. Mr. Kurtz, he is dead. A penny for the old guy. I don't know if I could take any calls now. Here's one. Richard on WVNN. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Richard?
Michael, I finally was able to pick up your book today at Barnes & Noble. I wanted to tell you, though, when I went in Saturday, of course, it was out of stock. He said it had been on order since October 14th. He couldn't understand why it was taking so long to come in because there were 1,500 in the warehouse.
Ah.
Said the buyer had only initially ordered 10, and those were gone the first day.
I'm telling you, look, I am given towards believing that there's a concerted effort to block my book in the warehouses until the election is over. I'm almost 100% sure, because nothing explains that it made it to the bestseller list 2 weeks in a row, admittedly 5 and then 11, number 5, then 11. It would have been number 1 if there had been no fight with Amazon for 6 weeks. And it certainly would be higher on the list for much longer if it had been released from the warehouses. So somebody is blocking it in a distribution channel. I know it for a fact.
Well, that was my thought, too. So instead of just leaving the store on Saturday and ordering online, I went back in and went to customer service and ordered the book. And I feel that this will make the buyers be under more pressure because I think they're intentionally under-ordering or low-balling their initial orders so that you don't hit the bestsellers list as quickly as you otherwise would.
And what happened when you ordered it? Did they say it'll be in when? 5 weeks?
Well, they said it should already be in at the time I ordered on Saturday.
That's right. I've been screaming to my publisher every day, and I've given up. I've stopped complaining about it. There's nothing I can do about the distribution system in these bookstores. I have no explanation for a company that has gone back to press 5 times and the books are not in the stores. There's no explaining it. I don't understand it.
The funny thing today was the books did come in, and they called me and let me know. And when I went in to pick up my book, the girl laughed. She said, we can't keep these in stock. So apparently the 25 that came in today are already gone as well, and they're having to reorder again.
Oh, so that's all they ordered. Despite the fact that it's a raging bestseller that no one can get, they ordered 25. That was smart. Well, just in time to miss the election. What could be better? Just in time to miss the election. You don't want people to read the truth. They want them to listen to men in white coats so they're not taken away in a white coat. Anyway, I want to thank it's listeners like you who keep, let us say, the show going. There's no other way to put it. Because, Richard, it's not just the book. The book is one part of my life. The show is my daily life. It's every day on radio. You know that. And it's listeners like you who make the show possible, which then make the book possible. You get it, Richard?
Yes. And, Michael, you hang in there. We're behind you.
I love your voice, brother. I do. I can tell you right off the bat this guy's military. Command voice. The country's filled with such great guys. I mean, really, where are they, though? They're not in the government. Where are they? What happens to them? How do they get caponized so rapidly? I mean, I know that you homogenize milk, and I know you have to sanitize bed covers in a hotel, but must you caponize men when they go into government work? 855-400-7282. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Ebola and the armed forces. I wonder how long it's going to be until the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff knuckle under to the transformationalist president. And they say, you know what, we're not going to put our troops in isolation when they come back because the president is so much smarter than we are. I wonder when it's going to be when they finally realize that the country is being run by a dictator like Abraham Lincoln. You say, well, why Abraham Lincoln? He's a big part of my book. Oh, he did great things. But it was at great cost to our freedom in this country. Isn't it ironic that he freed the slaves and made Americans less free? Isn't that an irony of Abraham Lincoln? He freed the slaves, God bless him for that, and he made most Americans less free. You didn't know that. Oh, he locked people up we disagreed with. He routed telegraph lines through the president's office to monitor every news story that was coming out about his activities. Oh, we didn't know anything about that. Oh, honest Abe. He said you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time or something like that. Well, that's true today. But apparently Obama can fool most of the people most of the time. That's the problem. He's fooled most of the people for most of the time. Oh, there are inklings now that the Democrats are in real trouble because of him. But hell, that doesn't matter. He still has a pen and a stool, and he intends to use it right after you, the fool, go and vote. Oh, yeah, he'll grant amnesty to all of the illegals because they're such wonderful people. They all come here to work. None of them are drug dealers. None of them are homicidal maniacs. None of them rape. None of them loot. None of them shoot cops in the forehead. No, they're all coming here. They're hard workers. They're hard workers, and anyone who says otherwise is a racist pig. Just ask La Raza, the most racist organization in American history. La Raza. It means the race. Now, how could you be... have an organization called The Race and not be a racist? How could you say your race is the race? Well, it worked for her. It worked for the president of La Raza. Cecilia Munoz was taken from running this organization right into the White House when our transformational president came along. See, he had a vision of turning us into from a first world nation to a second world nation as step one. Can anyone argue that this is a better country than when he seized power? Or was, let us say, foisted upon us. I wouldn't say seized power. Let's be fair to the discussion. Let's be clear. Let's use terminology that's correct. When he was foisted upon us, because that has deep implications. This is the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-282. It's not so much a blue Monday. It's a very pregnant Monday, because we're only a week away from the most important election in American history, one last chance. If we can cause an earthquake, if we can cause not an upset, but I'm talking an earthquake of an upset, the shockwave will not only make the Republicans more bold, it will scare the hell out of the Democrats, who will suddenly run to the center as they are doing right now. Oh, they don't like Obama. They won't even be on the stage with him. Anyone who goes on the stage with him, their poll numbers go down 7 to 12 points. He is the most hated American president. I don't need CNN to tell me I'm right. I don't need fake Tapper, a government agent, to tell me I'm right. I don't need a government jester. I don't need one of the government jesters, whether it be Bill Maher or the others, to tell me I'm right or wrong. I know I'm right. They're government jesters. Oh, they're not hired by the government, but without the government's backing, those networks would never have those clowns on. They're government jesters. And that's what's going on. That's how they keep the sheeple silly. Take me out to the ball game. Go Giants. Yay. Yay. People don't say one word about Ebola, not one word about the illegal aliens who are killing sheriffs. Suddenly they're jumping up and down animated in a restaurant over the Giants. Suddenly they found their guts. What a country. What a great place. America's wonderful. The streets are paved with yolds. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Two sheriff's deputies were shot dead by an illegal alien who had been deported twice for selling drugs. He had been sent back to Mexico, and he came back because of Governor Brown's open borders policies, because of Nancy Pelosi's asylum policies, because of Dianne Feinstein's asylum policies. These officers are dead, in my opinion. He was removed in 1997, possession of drugs for sale in Arizona, arrested and sent back to Mexico again in 2001. He was living under multiple identities. So not only was he an illegal alien, he was a criminal illegal alien. So Obama now wants to grant them amnesty to all of them? They don't even know who he is. Mauro Marquez, his father-in-law, told the L.A. Times that he always knew him as Louis Monroy and said his son-in-law worked as a house painter. He said the couple married about 14 years ago in Arizona and moved to Utah a couple of years later. Marquez told the newspaper that he and his wife spent time with them each year around Christmas at their home in West Valley City, a suburb of Salt Lake City. His daughter, Janelle Marquez Monroy, 38, was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and carjacking on Friday. See, the doll was with her husband during most of the crime spree, which began when Sacramento County Sheriff's Deputy Danny Oliver, 47, was shot dead in the forehead as he checked out a suspicious car in a motel parking lot. The couple are accused of leading authorities in a six-hour chase that included two carjackings before their capture. One motorist who resisted surrendering his car keys was shot in the face by the peaceful, loving asylum, asylee. Two deputies who approached the couple on a road were shot with an AR-15 assault rifle. Homicide detective Michael Davis Jr., 42, died at a hospital. A search of Utah court records for Marcelo Marquez, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture, don't you? But here we go. Krista Sorensen of Salt, here comes, here's Associated Press now. Krista Sorensen of Salt Lake City said Monroy Bracamonte and his brother mowed her lawn and fixed her sprinklers about 4 years ago, describing them as just super nice, decent, hardworking, trying to figure out how to make a living, close quote. They distributed handbills that said Brothers Landscaping. Really? Watch out for the gardener within, is that it? Here's the whole system right now. And this is an example of what happens when you have lunatic, liberal, corrupt lunatic liberals running everything. Now, I understand that on the blogs, people are saying, I don't really have a degree in epidemiology. So let me clear the air up, since many people don't know the truth. Let's start with my educational qualifications. I know it may be boring. Bachelor of Science, Queens College of the City, University of New York, 1963. 1970, master's degree in ethnobotany. 1973, master's degree in medical anthropology. Now, both of the master's degrees were at the level of a Ph.D., but because they were so unique in that regard, I had to get out of the Ph.D. programs and put them into a master's program, and I said I'll get a Ph.D. later on. But both of them were better than most Ph.D.s being done today. And then I went to the University of California at Berkeley. I enrolled in 1974. And in 1978, actually in 1977, I was awarded the PhD in nutritional ethnomedicine, which includes one of the specialties is epidemiology. Now, what most of the illiterate dummies that were attacking me don't understand something. Most of the submoronic illiterate dummies who support Obama and are trying to smear me don't understand something. There were very few interdisciplinary students permitted into the PhD program at Berkeley in that time. It was a very difficult program to enter. And the reason was is they didn't want to give just an ordinary doctoral student the latitude to study independent, to combine several different disciplines and do an independent study. And then, by the way, still come before a board, an oral board, a written board, all that. So they had to make sure you were at the highest level of background and intelligence. And I went through the most stringent, I think, 4 hours of my whole life to this date in order to be qualified to enter that interdisciplinary program. And I remember it to this day as one of the most difficult things I ever did in my life, sitting in that room, watching the clock tower, hearing the clock tick on his desk. And he grilled me as though I was on trial. And basically he was asking me, am I qualified? Why? What was, once he accepted me, I then had to go ahead and do a thesis, which I did. And my PhD dissertation was published as a book eventually, by the way. I'm telling you this because people are trying to smear me because I'm a leader, not only in talk radio, but also in the subject that you're hearing about. And the government now wants total control over the propaganda. They want total and absolute control over what you're supposed to think about the dangers of Ebola.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The propaganda ministry has removed the liar from the CDC because he couldn't peddle his bill of goods. He was roundly criticized. Everyone saw right through him. Notice he's not being seen anymore. Who have they marched out? Why, the handsome Dr. Fauci in a starched white coat, surrounded by other clowns in starched white coats, who tell you, move along, you've got nothing to worry about, we just kissed an Ebola patient on the lips. Where is the CDC guy? Where'd they move him? Where'd he go? Where is he? Is he practicing gynecology somewhere in Africa? Where'd they send him? Where'd they send him? He failed at his job. Now they got the smooth-talking Fauci. He thinks he's more handsome and more glib than the other one. But they're not doing the right thing, and I can prove it to you in one sentence. How can I, Michael Savage, prove it to you in one sentence? Army isolates troops returning from Liberia. Joint Chiefs of Staff urge broad Ebola quarantine. They're more concerned about reality than they are about the clown in the White House, the imposter in the White House, the liar in the White House, the imposter in the White House, who cares nothing about the health of the nation. The Joint Chiefs at least care about their troops. And they know that of the 3,000 to 5,000 sent to these countries, to Liberia, I guess in this case, at least one of them, statistically, one of them might contract Ebola and come back symptom-free and spread it through the military. That's logic, isn't it? 101, something Obama never studied at Columbia. He was too stoned. He missed logic and scientific method. He was studying the method of Saul Alinsky along with Hillary Clinton. You know, it's exasperating when it's so clear to anybody with more than a high school education what these people are doing to us. That's why I get exasperated. That's why it's hard for me. And that's why I still have faith in the common man. I say the common man can, on the election day, just move from the D column to the R column and we can save the country. Say, oh, come on, they're all the same. Well, that's the exact attitude that will destroy the country forever and for good. Are you telling me that if Harry Reid, who's certainly not up for re-election, but if he loses his authority in the Senate, are you telling me this country would be the same once Harry Reid has moved out of that position of power? It's not true. Are you telling me that a landslide against the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party would not send, this earthquake wouldn't send a shockwave through their bowels? You're telling me that they wouldn't wake up the next day saying, holy God, the people are not that stupid. We better change our tune. Oh, they would. Oh, they would. You got to do it. You got to vote. It's the only thing we got left. Otherwise, we're finished. If we let this rogue president run roughshod over us, as he's doing, I don't know that this country can survive 2 more years, frankly. I truly don't. And I think it's the average man who can save America. That was my argument in the restaurant when I saw the clowns jumping up. Giants, yay! Moron, yay! Giants, that's her whole life. I could see enjoying the game. I could see getting a kick out of it. But what's the jumping up in a restaurant? An old white-haired lunatic. What's she jumping for? She hadn't had sex in 30 years. All she does is eat pasta at night with her husband who's half dead. Now all of a sudden she's jumping for joy. Jumping for joy. Her Giants are winning. Oh, she's suddenly excited again. Suddenly excited. Verbal Viagra. And we're talking about the insanity of the federal government, how they're putting all of our lives at risk with their, oh, don't quarantine people. No, let a person with Ebola run wild in the streets and violate every rule of epidemiology, every rule of sanity, and then put idiots out in starched white coats like they know what they're talking about when they're nothing but political operatives. It's unbelievable to me what the people will tolerate. And then in California, there's a heartbreaking story, which I touched on. Suspect in California deputy deaths had many names. No, he's an illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported twice, thrown out of the country, drug peddler, convicted for possession of drugs for sale in Arizona, then arrested and thrown back into Mexico in 01 again. And now he came back. He shot one officer through the forehead. And two deputies approached a couple on a road, were shot with an AR-15 assault rifle. Homicide detective Michael David Davies, 42, shot dead for this illegal alien from Mexico with many names. So I blame Governor Brown for his pandering to illegal aliens. I blame Barack Obama. I blame Dianne Feinstein. I blame Nancy Pelosi. But I blame you, the people, and I especially blame police and their wives who vote Democrat for this to happen. And for you to go in that booth in 10 days and still press the D shows me that you don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. How do you feel about the two California deputies shot to death by the illegal alien from Mexico who had been deported twice, who killed two deputies? You want to hear how the Associated Press has become the Soviet Press? They should rename themselves the Soviet Press from AP to SP. Listen to this headline. Suspect in California deputy deaths had many names. You know, whoever wrote this, if I were the president, I'd try him. I'd try this SOB for crimes against humanity. I don't mean the man who shot the sheriffs. He'd get the death sentence in 30 days. I mean the writer who wrote suspect in California deputy deaths had many names. No, the headline is illegal alien from Mexico, deported twice, kills two deputies in cold blood. This Mexican had been deported twice. But because of Jerry Brown and Barack Obama and the amnesty and sanctuary policies of these numbskull politicians, he's been able to game the system, and he shot two sheriffs dead. Can any sheriff or cop or highway patrolman listening to the show tell me why you will vote for Jerry Brown or a Democrat ever again? I don't understand it. What's happened to you people? Are you that stupid? Are you that brainwashed that you don't understand that they're putting your lives at risk? Now, that brings us to the question of, can the average man save America? I've never seen anything like this in my life, where a small group of fanatics are literally dictating medical policy to the gullible president of the United States, saying, oh, no, quarantine is illegal, immoral, and fattening. So I ask you, is it fair to quarantine health workers returning from Ebola zones? Not only is it fair, it's mandatorily required, if you're sane. Moreover, the Army is isolating troops returning from Liberia. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are urging a broad Ebola quarantine, recommending that all U.S. troops returning from West Africa undergo a mandatory 21-day quarantine. That's very intelligent. It's required to prevent the disease from spreading. But because of psychotic ideologues in the CDC, National Institutes of Health, and other places where they've been ensconced since the AIDS epidemic, the policies that were put in place from the day of the AIDS epidemic are now being applied to a different epidemic with dire consequences for all of us. What does it say about a nurse who puts her own discomfort before public safety? I want to talk about an email I received from a very famous author who's written 30 books who will remain anonymous. He's written 30 books. You would know the name, but I'm not going to read it. Morning, Michael Savage. You're the one on the firing line. Every day, now and then, I get a small taste of what we're all up against. A few years ago, I did a book, a satire on political correctness. Guess what happened? I was audited 2 years in a row following it. After I had been told by one New York publisher that if I published it, I would never publish in New York again. course I have. I also wrote another book about drone warfare, after which Air Force intelligence called me to warn that they had credible information that a fatwa had been issued against my life, he writes. Savage, I've just read your Stop the Coming Civil War. I agree with you about the state of matters in the United States and tell my grandchildren they will live in tyranny. Only, Michael, you seem to be more optimistic than I. I guess I was a cop too long, he writes. I'm afraid Americans have been so dumbed down, become so complacent and sheepish, that they have already given up their liberty for perceived security and will fight now only for more entitlements. I fear we are now living through the decline of Western civilization. But, Michael, keep up the good fight, my friend, and if I may assist in any way, all you have to do is let me know. God bless. Anonymous. Can you believe this? What's going on behind the scenes? See, I had written, he had sent me his novel, and then I wrote him a one-paragraph email like this. It says, your great prophetic novel, which the New York naval gazers refused to touch. And I said, it is getting increasingly dangerous for we few brave souls who see the new Soviet system, which has been installed. Sports being the opiate of the masses, I had a big family argument last night in a crowded white tablecloth restaurant over the stupidity of the average man. Cheering, whistling while the band plays on. The same suddenly brazen dolts who refuse to say a word about President Obola, cheering, whistling, even the white grannies jumping for joy over their giants, while the true giants are forced to take refuge in caves. Anyway, my friend, thanks for thinking of me and keep on firing the torpedo. So he had sent me that back. You understand what was going on in my head? I want you to listen now to Anthony Fauci, the National Institutes of Health. Here's Anthony Fauci in clip 12.
I don't want to be directly criticizing what the decision that was made, but we have to be careful that there are unintended consequences. The best way to stop this epidemic is to help the people in West Africa. We do that by sending people over there, not only from the USA, but from other places. We need to treat them, returning people, with respect.
Again, respect the liberal platitudes. Now, this is a man who knows better. He's a liar. He's trying to brainwash you with his white coat and his stethoscope. Have they come out with stethoscopes as well as their white coat? I love that. Whatever they do, the Soviet-style press conference, the stooge doctors, they come out not only with a white starch coat, but with a stethoscope in case you couldn't put two and two together, in case you were confusing them with, I don't know who else wears a white coat, a chef. So in order to make sure that the average moron out there who cheers on the Giants and nothing else knows that they're important doctors, they wear not only a starched white coat, but they hang a stethoscope over their neck like they're using it. They just rushed out from the treatment center. That's a stethoscope. Now, in the next big lie, listen to clip 13 now.
We've learned that we've got to be more, continue to be aggressive in our educating people to understand. Because right now we have a devastating epidemic in West Africa, and we're having an epidemic of fear in the United States. So we've got to continue to try and educate people about what they need to or do not need to be afraid of.
Thanks, Anthony. That's very nice. So you want to now tell us that anyone with common sense is full of fear, and they should trust you and Barack Obama and your brainwashing messages, which are relentless. You are hysterical because the people have caught on to the fact that you're all a bunch of incompetent liars and that you've put politics first and public health second, and you don't know what to do with it. And that's why you're going on the assault and attacking the whole concept of quarantine. Here again is the man in the white coat who, again, in case you don't know, the man in the white coat, notice he's the lead spokesmouth now on Ebola. They took the other one off the stage. He flopped. Whatever his name was. Does anyone remember his name, the CDC guy? The guy with the weird mouth? Frieden. We heard Frieden was sent on a family vacation to Boca Raton. I'm joking. We don't know where he is. They gave him a one-way ticket to Boca Raton to monitor the Chads. They said, sir, you're not going to Chad anymore to deal with the Ebola epidemic. You're going to go down to Florida and look for the hanging Chads. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, we're all shocked today because the federal government has overridden Governor Christie and Governor Cuomo of New York. This rotten, stinking federal government under Obama, who's the most insane man I've ever seen on the planet, has said, oh, no, you can't quarantine a nurse who might have Ebola. It's up to us to decide. So they released the nurse, even though she hasn't cleared the quarantine. Now, is this a sane man, or is this an insane power tripper of the worst order? How could you live in a country and not see this man as crazy? And now it gets to the next point, which is the leftists and their agenda and the lawyers. Not will kill us all. They are killing us all. If you go to my website and you take a look at the cop killer from Sacramento, California, he was a Mexican who had been released twice, sent back from Mexico by Barack Hussein Obama's immigration policies. So now you want this man who has destroyed our borders to destroy our health? Well, he's doing a good job of it. The man needs to be arrested by his own party before he kills all of us. The nurse who worked in an Ebola zone and returned to New Jersey was quarantined. But she said it wasn't fair. She started complaining to the liberal news media, who proclaimed to the highest mountaintop what a miscarriage of civil liberties it is to keep her as a health worker away from the public during the 21-day waiting period, during which it's determined whether or not she actually has Ebola. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? The lawyers and the leftists in the media said, oh no, let her go. Are you listening to me? The CDC has overridden Governor Christie and Governor Cuomo's intelligence on quarantining people who come back from Africa in that area. Obama has forced these governors into a U-turn to allow the Ebola nurse to leave New Jersey quarantine tent. Does this make sense to you? A 21-day Ebola quarantine is absolutely essential. But Obama lobbied Christie to rethink New Jersey's rules, and that's what he did. This is what we're dealing with, an insane government run by political hacks, the worst of whom is Anthony Fauci, director of the NIH, who says that the 21-day quarantines are a little bit draconian. You know, Fauci, you've had a long run and a good run, but you have overstayed your welcome to the American people. You are doing us all a disservice, Fauci. You're worse than the jerk who runs the CDC. The Obama administration attacked the governors and said they don't know what they're doing. It's not grounded in science. We know what we're doing. After all, we live for open borders, no language and no culture. So I ask you these questions today. Do you think it's fair to quarantine health workers returning from Ebola zones? And what does it say to you about a nurse who puts her own discomfort before public safety? And what happens when the lawyers get involved in the U.S. Ebola response? The person who should be sued are the heads of the CDC and the NIH for having permitted people to travel from Africa with Ebola. The man who shot and killed two Northern California sheriffs was deported twice and should not have been here. Who do you blame for the deaths of these sheriffs? Who? Why don't you read Stop the Coming Civil War, because it's on. The Civil War has been on ever since this imposter seized power when he was foisted upon us. But it's only just begun. He has 2 big years to make sure that other murderers deported to Mexico, El Salvador, and Nicaragua and other points south are released on the streets to kill our police. He has 2 more years to make sure more people with Ebola come into America. He has 2 more years to bring more troops who could possibly be infected with Ebola back to America. If that's not declaring war in America, I'd like to know what is. And I want to know how much longer you're going to take it. And that's why I say everything's at stake. The election's coming up very shortly. This election is the election upon which the future of America hangs. It's the only election that can stop the coming civil war. I'm asking you, if you have the book, to call one friend, one family member who's a liberal, who doesn't know what's going on, because they're not only low-information voters, they're no-information voters. All they care about is the sports and entertainment complex. This is Michael Savage. Thanks for listening, and God bless you.